Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. After several long months with barely a drop of rain, we're finally seeing the beginning of raining season, and dare I say, an early glimpse of the 2018 hurricane season. Meteorologists are eyeing the Gulf for possible development into tropical or subtropical development into something more major. Those whose first priority was fixing their home after Hurricane Irma last year may be looking at some ominous trees in the 2018 hurricane season gets wrapped up for a couple of weeks early. Or maybe they're replacing toppled landscape. It could be on some people's minds. Either way, we welcome our next guest who can advise on all things tree-related in Southwest Florida, Ian Orlikoff. He's an arborist and the owner of Signature Tree Care and has been on the show before. Ian, welcome back. So great to have you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Do you have a question for arborist Ian Orlikoff, or do you have any tree advice that you'd like to chime in with? Give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. So, Ian, how have you been?
Been doing well.
Still busy?
Finally recovering, and it's gone from total chaos to chaos, so now we're having a little bit of reprieve.
Are you finished with Irma cleanup overall?
For the most part, there's still some residual work out there, and there will be some developing hazards over time in the future, but for the most part, the emergent work is finished.
So I'm wondering, are there some trees out there that we need to be looking at suspiciously and saying maybe this one's kind of a goner or maybe it's not?
Well, trees are going to – it's going to be a long-term effect from Irma, where trees that have been pushed slightly have some voids in the root systems. And when those root zones are exposed to air, they'll typically start to decay, and then their stability will weaken somewhat. Mm-hmm. So trees do have the ability to respond and re-strengthen over time and grow some more roots to compensate for that. However, there is that short-term issue that you have to pay attention to. If you notice the tree continuing to lean, that's definitely something that you need to have assessed.
Is it too late now if you had one that was kind of a leaner? Is it too late to prop it back up?
It really depends on the type of tree, the type of soil, the amount of root damage that occurred during the push. Some trees can be righted this late in the time. However, if they have a green canopy, they're doing pretty well. They may be working off of reserves from their root system that will eventually dry up. It really is just every situation is totally different.
Are there particular trees that that you know maybe are working off that reserve still that may still look good, but then they continue to then just get weakened? How long would it take a tree to be weakened to the extent? Because it's now we're, what, 7-8 months out mm-hmm. from the hurricane?
Right. Well, there's certainly some oak trees that are out there that still have a green canopy, and half of their root system is still in the soil, and they are still getting irrigated. So those root systems that are still intact are feeding the remaining canopy of the tree. It just depends on how well it actually looks. And a lot of the roots that are going to be dried out are not going to come back. So in many cases where the tree is tipped all the way over, it's a little late.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about palm trees? Are any of those suffering still, or the ones that were going to come down, have they come down?
Well, some are leaning, and as the soil during the dry season starts to dry up, there's less contact that the roots have with the soil, and so they'll start to pull a little bit. If you notice that the tree is continuing to lean, that would be a removal. Palms typically can sustain some root damage, and they will redevelop new roots fairly well. But there are certain species that are just very temperamental and will not do well with that. Our Florida natives obviously will handle that pretty well.
Yeah, the natives are used to it. I mean, they're made for it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Correct.
Are there any non-native trees that you're seeing having an especially difficult time this far along past the hurricane?
I can't really say in particular. Non-native trees are more distressed from a hurricane than the natives. It's kind of hard to see that. It just appears that more trees that are non-native went over in the storm because they just didn't evolve with the intent that a hurricane would be an issue.
Yeah, they weren't ready for that. Maybe a possible tornado every once in a while in the Midwest, but not so much a hurricane down here. What kind of things do you think people should look for in tree health post-Irma now at this point? If you're looking at your yard, what should concern you?
Well, I think definitely keeping an eye on trees that have a lean to them. Again, as I had mentioned, that some of those root systems will regenerate and restabilize the tree, and some of those root systems will not. So if they notice that a tree is beginning to lean, I would take a measurement on that. And if they notice anything progressing over time, that would certainly be a candidate for removal.
Like break out a compass? Like a little...
Right. Well, what you could do is hang a string from the underside of the tree and measure the distance from, say, a washer or some sort of a weight from the actual trunk to that weight, a pendulum, if you will. And then if you measure again in a few weeks or a month and see that that is increased, then it's something that's, you know, obviously something that needs to come out.
I think I was thinking protractor. I'm trying to think of the right word there. So we have questions that come through on Curious Gulf Coast, and a lot of them happen to be about vegetation and trees in our area. There was one that was wondering why all of the one person asked, why all the over-pruning of palm trees? Do you see palm trees being over-trimmed before hurricane season? Is that a mistake that a lot of people make?
Right. Well, there's a typical terminology called hurricane palm pruning. And what that does is essentially move all of the foliage or fronds up to just a spear leaf or a couple fronds in the very tip top. And what that does is that absorbs all the wind force, and that force is transferred down into the bud of the palm, which is actually the most fragile part of the palm, and bruises that heart. And typically you'll see a lot of palms that actually will die after the fact of the hurricane, just from the bruising of the bud. The palms evolved to have a full head of fronds on there, and therefore the entire top of the palm will absorb and disperse the force of the wind.
So why do people do that? Is it because they're just trying to get ahead of it so much? And then what should they do with a palm tree? Just take off the coconuts?
Correct. Just the seed pods, typically the 9 to 3, at least in Collier County, is the ordinance to have it pruned no greater than 9 to 3 if you're looking at the hands on a clock.
So looking at an upside-down triangle of 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock?
Well, 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock would be more horizontal.
Oh, more horizontal. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you go above that, then you're removing fronds, which is actually reducing the amount of photosynthesizing that takes place within the tree. So if we do get a disease that comes through the area, the tree will have a lower chance of survival because it has less energy stored in its root system.
I'm kind of imagining, you know, when you take the leaves away from an artichoke and you get into that soft stuff down around the bottom of the heart, and am I imagining the same kind of a scenario as what a palm tree is when you take
Correct.
Off too many of those fronds?
Exactly.
And that makes it susceptible not only to disease but also to the winds bruising that. And when that gets bruised, that impacts its ability to photosynthesize?
Well, when the bud gets bruised, you'll start developing fungal issues in the bud, and a lot of times the palm will actually die. We saw a lot more of that in Wilma for some reason. I'm not seeing quite as much of that in post-Irma, but we lost lots of palms from Wilma. I guess that the funguses that were moving through were attacking more of those palms.
That's really interesting. So another curious Gulf Coast question wanted to know about the pines along area roadways. Someone wrote in, I have noticed that a lot of the local pine trees are standing straight, but the needles have turned brown. Did Irma kill them? How? Have you seen pine needles turning brown, and is that normal?
Right. That's typical of after a wind event, the pine beetles start to move in as a secondary issue.
Pine beetle?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
It's the Ips beetle, and there's two beetles. It's the bark beetle, which goes around the trunk just in between the bark and the cambium, and will spit sawdust out, and you'll see that at the base of the pine. And then you've got the boring beetle that will go directly into the trunk and lay the eggs. And what happens is the pines, when they get bent over, they get what they call the shakes. And what that does is it creates a stress response in the tree. The pine beetles smell that, and then they'll swarm into the areas where they can attack the pines because they're weakened from the storm.
So those browned needles are a symptom of those beetles.
Right. Well, the pines are already under stress. It's just that the beetles will come in and finish them off.
Hmm.
So it's kind of a secondary to the Irma. It can also lose more trees from pine beetle damage than from what Irma caused itself.
Wow. That's surprising. So if people have pine trees around them that have these brown needles, do they need to become concerned about those trees possibly eventually falling over?
That is certainly a concern. Pine beetles typically don't fall over from the base. They'll dismantle themselves from the top, and there'll be a pile of limbs at the base of the tree. And work itself down to a short trunk. So I wouldn't be so concerned of a pine falling over from its actual base. But if needles are brown, the tree is slowly declining. It depends on the amount of infestation that occurs. Some trees will pull through it if they can regain some energy, and these rains are certainly going to help with that.
So maybe that'll help them fend them off. So if a pine does regain some energy, it can fend off these beetles
To some extent. If it's an immense infestation of the tree, it's not going to have a chance. But they can take a certain percentage of infestation and still come through.
All right. Well, let's hope for them. Let's cheer for them. Hope those pine trees pull through. We're talking about trees post-Irma and pre-2018 hurricane season. Our guest for this part of the show is arborist Ian Orlikoff with Signature Tree Care. Do you have a question or a comment? Give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. And we did just get a call asking whether cypress trees are a good tree to plant.
Well, I think they're a great tree. They're a native. I think the one thing they have against them is that they're barren in the wintertime, which is when most people are here and want to appreciate the landscape. So they'll interpret that tree as a dead tree and unsightly. However, they're greatly adapted to this environment. This is where they belong, and especially in drainage swales and things like that. It's a great tree to utilize and incorporate into the landscape with a native tree. And that's probably the only complaint I hear of them the most is that they don't look
pretty in the winter.
Correct.
What do they look like in the winter? I know they're in my backyard, but could you describe it for others?
Well, they kind of look like a pine, so to speak, with no needles and lots of lateral branches going up, very dense with the branching structure. But beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I think trees look great with or without leaves. It's just a different time of season.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you would be the one that would appreciate them. A lot of trees didn't make it through last season. Is this the time right now to get some trees in the ground, or if you've managed to hold out this long?
It's rainy season is definitely a plus. You can plant any time throughout the year as long as there's irrigation, at least to get them established. And once they're established, you can start to wean them off of the irrigation depending on the species of the tree. Doing some planting prior to the rainy season is a good start. However, when the summer comes in and it heats up, they still need supplemental irrigation just because the amount of heat is desiccating or basically drying the trees out. Even though we get rains, they still need irrigation.
It's bringing all that rain into our air, which is what we live with humidity.
Mm-hmm.
Which is always so fun. Is there a tree that is not a good idea to plant right now, that it's too wet for them right now?
Well, I can't say that it's too wet right now.
Well, it's going to be.
Right, going to be. It really depends on the location in your landscape. If you have a very low-lying area where you're going to have a lot of soil moisture throughout the rainy season, any tree that does not like having wet feet is what they call, will not do well. So you can put a tree in an elevated area. You may have to bring in some additional soil just to raise it up a little bit. But the right tree, right place, and doing some research on what its needs are can save a lot of heartache and money in the future.
We talked a little bit before the show about people and their concerns about trees, and you said that there are a lot of people that are scared of trees now after that hurricane. They feel like they want to take out all these trees, and you were telling me why that's not a good idea. What would you say to someone who's kind of eyeballing a tree in their front yard and saying, I don't really trust this guy anymore?
Well, there's what they call is a tree risk assessment can be performed on the tree, and there's several formulations that come into play and determine if that tree is an actual hazard or what the level of risk is. But what's going on is there's a tree that falls on somebody's house and the neighbors see the damage and then they're fearful of their trees in their yard. I'm trying to steer away from that because the trees act as a wind buffer, and there wasn't a lot of structural damage from trees. I mean, yes, of course there was in a hurricane, but the amount of protection that trees provide us as a wind buffer greatly outweighs the damage that they could cause to a structure. So removing all these trees in communities for the fear of hurricane damage is kind of opening their structures up to straight line winds, which, you know, I'd rather have a hole poked in my roof rather than the roof ripped off.
Yeah, those straight line winds are the things that go through the windows and take the roof off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We got a comment from Sharon G on Twitter. She said she had a 60-foot Bischofia tree.
Correct.
Am I saying that right?
Yes, Bischofia.
Bischofia tree that was down by Irma. Fences, neighbor's roof damaged a couple of months ago. She got it removed, but now all the little Bischofias are growing from underground roots. How can you get rid of those roots spreading all over the property?
Well, Bischofia, you'd asked earlier about a tree that is not good to plant, I believe. If I'm correct, that's actually a perfect example of a tree not to plant because they are very brittle, extremely they have very poor structures, and they come apart in hurricanes because they're very brittle. And they're also invasive. And so it's all the berries that had dropped on the ground over time that were covered in the soil, now that they're exposed to sunlight, they're really starting to sprout out. So I would recommend grinding any of the roots out if there's any sprouting from the roots directly, which I'm not sure if that occurs with Bischofia.
It doesn't have to be kind of an underground rhizome kind of thing, like banana plants or bamboo.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But I would probably go ahead and unfortunately need to use a herbicide to get rid of those sprouts because they'll continue to come. Or you could solarize them, putting a black plastic sheet over top of the soil, and that will bake the seedlings from coming out.
And then all the grass. So then you're probably going to have to just churn it up anyway and put some more sod down.
Right.
All right. Well, that makes sense. So before we run out of time, I wanted to ask you, you're an arborist. So can you tell me a little bit about what that means as opposed to a tree trimmer?
Well,
I mean, I know you do the tree work, but what sets an arborist apart?
Well, arborists are anybody that is involved in tree work. Certified arborists, we basically take a test that we pass, and you can do that by going through college or just basically reading all the study material required and take the test. It's important that you hire a qualified certified arborist because many certified arborists are better in different fields than others. So I think the question to ask is what type of work they specialize in or what it is that they do on a daily basis because it's like any other profession out there. There's many others that are certified. It's just what are they capable of doing and what are they typically doing on a day-to-day basis.
I know that you take sometimes felled trees, take that wood, and you turn it into something beautiful after the fact. Did you have a surplus of supplies to work with for tables, benches, and chairs and things in your more creative side?
We do. We've harvested several trees that were in piles of debris that were going to be hauled to the FEMA dump site and ground up. And as an arborist, we are always working on trees from planting to taking care of them, health management, pruning, and then, of course, removal when needed. And now the full circle is with actually opening them up and dissecting them and looking at them and turning into something that can be useful.
Yeah, I've seen some of your pieces. How do you find those? Are those on your website?
Some of them are, yes.
All right, great. It's always, tell me the website real quick, Signature Tree Care.
www.signaturetreecare.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It's so great to talk to you once again, Ian Orlikoff.
Thank you for having me.
Our show today was produced by Mike Canary and Rachel Iacovone. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1. WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM. NPR for Southwest Florida.